Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacevic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic. It is my pleasure to welcome back Tom Wilk to the podcast. Welcome, Tom.
James, thanks for having me back today. Appreciate this.
Now, for those that may have missed a previous episode with Tom, we previously talked about predictive maintenance and the survey results that have come back from Plant Services Magazine on predictive maintenance, and the same thing with workforce and craft skills. Now, today we're going to talk about electrical safety, but before we get into that, Tom, you are the chief editor-in-chief at Plant Services, and you've been there for almost 4 years. Prior to that, you've worked at Panduit. What did I miss there from your bio that you want to fill in?
Oh, it's been an interesting career. Before Panduit, I worked for an environmental contractor, helping scientists in the field translate data and raw data results on soil and groundwater contamination into reports for the EPA and for the Department of Defense. And before that, I taught for about 10 years at Ohio State, as doing technical writing teaching and also writing electives education for engineers. So there's a through line involving science writing and science communication for the past 25 plus years.
Excellent. Very good. And you've been very busy with Plant Services, taking all kinds of surveys, diving into what is actually going on in the industry. So going back a little bit, Plant Services recently completed a survey on electrical safety. What were your initial thoughts going into this survey? Did you have some preconceived notions you just wanted to confirm, or were you trying to find out new insights?
You know, that's a really interesting question. We had no preconceived notions about this survey. What we saw through is, for the past couple of years, we've been issuing a survey on predictive maintenance and then a different one on workforce pretty consistently for the past every 18 months. And so we had been collecting a good longitudinal data set on those two topics, but we took a look at the other topics of interest to our readers based on website hits and reader feedback, things like that. And we realized that a third topic that might be survey worthy would be electrical systems and electrical safety. People really can't seem to get enough content on that topic, and love reading the articles that we publish. So we designed the first ever electrical safety survey, really designed to put a thermometer out there and take the temperature on what people thought their plants were doing well, what they thought they were doing poorly, how well trained people thought they were, and see how that survey was received and see if we get enough respondents. We were very gratified to see that our readers really responded in force to this survey as much as they had done to the workforce and PDM surveys. We had just under 200 respondents quickly fill out all the questions and get the answers back to us. So not only do our readers enjoy the content that they can read through, they really seem to appreciate the chance to get feedback on what their plants are up to in this area.
Excellent. Very good. And it's good you got a good base to start with for the survey. And looking through the results, I noticed the majority of the respondents were of an older generation with at least 16 years of electrical experience. Do you think that influenced the outcomes of the survey at all?
You know, I'd like to think it influenced it for the better, in that we did get a very experienced bunch. 70%, and more than 70% of respondents had more than 16 years of experience in this area. Demographically, it broke down pretty evenly. Half were baby boomers and above, and half were Gen Xers and millennials. But the common thread was that they all had, more than 70% had at least 15 years of experience. So we took that as an indicator that these results could be trusted, that our audience knew electrical systems backwards and forwards. Disclaimer, unlike myself, who is not certified as an electrician or with any electrical degree certification, again, I'm a practicing science writer and enjoy researching this. When it comes to some of what the data means, we can do our best to analyze it, but we really left a lot of the results that we found up to the respondents just to let us know what they were thinking.
Excellent. Very good. So we had a good base of experience going into this, but a lot of those respondents indicated they were not licensed electricians. How do you feel this may have impacted the outcome of the survey?
Well, it's interesting that various people who responded felt comfortable talking about these topics in depth. So let's say an ASNT level 1 sewer tree thermographer might not be a state licensed journeyman, for example. The difference is that, level 1, 2, or 3 thermographers have an appreciation for the safety that goes into that practice and understand the risks involved electrical systems. So while they might not be certified to install these systems, they're definitely certified to maintain them and analyze the performance.
Excellent.
And the survey tried to incorporate both of those sides, too, both the mechanics of the systems and people's thoughts on how well they were being maintained.
Very good. Now, I must admit, I was pleasantly surprised when I looked at the survey and realized the diversity and the amount of electrical safety equipment available. I remember when I first started in the trade, this was something almost no one ever talked about, nor was it ever of. Why do you think there's such a large focus from organizations on electrical safety, having the proper equipment available, and the diversity of protective equipment available?
Well, we'll start with, I think, the same that a lot of us have heard, which is that a reliable plant is a safe plant, right? I think a lot of plant managers have an appreciation that when you start with safety, when you start with getting people home safely at night, then reliability sort of flows from that point, too. So you get the benefit of both at the same time. Also, I think OEMs are keenly aware in helping to mitigate incidents at work, and so as time evolves, technology evolves and standards evolve, along with electrical systems. So that you do see a wider, I think these days you are seeing a wider range of equipment, especially that which might be connected to the Internet of Things for things like instant alarming. So a couple of thoughts on that, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, and I think, too, you mentioned standards just now, and I think that's part of it, too, is there's the arc flash standard that's available in both U.S. and Canada now, and a lot of organizations mm-hmm. are adopting that as best practice and using that moving forward, and that, you know, outlines all kinds of different arc flash ratings, required equipment, mm-hmm. so on and so forth. I think that might play a huge role in the uptick we've seen recently as well.
That's a really interesting point. You mentioned the standards, too. Increasingly, those standards require risk assessment, especially to incorporate the maintenance teams. And so the more these teams have understand they have a stake in how they approach the reliability and standards compliance, like you said, the more equipment's going to be available to them to achieve that compliance. Yeah.
Yes. Excellent. And in addition, in the survey, it said most organizations had an infrared camera, but not nearly as many had certified technicians for thermography. Do you see, or do you think this has a direct impact on the effectiveness of the program?
You know, that's tough for me to say because I'm not in the plant with everybody who owns a camera seeing how they operate. I mean, we've all heard the anecdotal stories about, do you own a camera? Or do you use the camera? All I can say is that for these respondents, and again, the number of ANST certified thermographers, level 1, 2, and 3 combined, is about 15%, right? And that question said, check all that apply, not check just one. So there's certainly some overlap in some of the other areas there. I found it interesting that when it came to predictive maintenance technologies that are being deployed, 72% said they're deploying infrared thermography. So all I can do is fall back and say, 75% admit to owning the cameras, 72% admit to engaging in thermography in some way. I think it's up to the next survey to refine the questions and find out, are the people who own the cameras actually doing the work? Or are they contracting out? Or, you know, in essence, too, how many cameras are currently sitting in the supply room gathering dust?
Yeah, I think there's a good distinction there. I've worked with some organizations that have a thermography camera, and they don't mm-hmm. use it for conducting electrical maintenance. They use it for troubleshooting, stuff of that nature, but they actually have the electrical maintenance contracted out to a certified thermographer mm-hmm. to trend the data and so on and so forth. So that would be a good way to see what is actually going on, because I know some organizations use them differently, and that might be part of the effectiveness of it or the training around it as well.
You know, agreed. And what you're saying aligns with one of the questions we asked about outsourcing. And 77% of the respondents in the survey said that they do outsource installation work, and that 63% said they outsource testing. So, yeah, I think that's a validation of what you're saying as well, which is that the cameras may be owned and used, but perhaps not for electrical analysis and electrical certification, or perhaps they're sidecarring with contractors who come in.
Yes, absolutely. And that seems fairly consistent with what I see. I see most organizations contracting out installs, services, stuff of that nature, while their electricians become the experts on the equipment within the facility, and they just focus on that.
Yeah, and one last thing too. 43% of the respondents said they also outsource the condition monitoring. So again, that doesn't align completely with some of the things we're seeing on the PDM question. But as you say, that there's a consistent level of outsourcing when plants may not have the expertise. That also lines up with a demographic question too. Just to get into some of the nuts and bolts, which is that half of the respondents said their maintenance teams were between 5 and 50 people. So we're not looking at an army of maintenance technicians at these plants. We're looking at smaller teams for a lot of these responses who may not have the expertise you talked about.
There was a mixed bag of responses around IIoT, wearable devices, and so on and so forth with electrical safety. Is this consistent with some of the other predictive maintenance surveys you've seen in the past?
It is. The IoT question is definitely consistent. We find that one-third are engaged, one-third are exploring, and one-third have no plans. The numbers were a little higher this time on the electrical safety survey, which said 44% reported they're already using the IoT in some way to monitor their electrical systems. That could mean something as elementary as simply using wireless monitors to relay data back to a home server. In fact, that's often what it means. I think the second part of your question is the interesting one. I think one of the interesting things that we're noting about wearable devices is that wearable devices are as contingent on policy issues, such as union contracts and EH&S policies, as they are on availability of the technology. It's one of the reasons why I like including a wearables question on these kind of surveys, just to sort of take the temperature and see if things are shifting in one direction or the other. I can't say that question is going to be consistent from one survey to the next, simply because I think the types of policies in place at plants are going to vary based on the people who are responding. I think it's an interesting question just to see, sort of take the temperature and see how people are using those.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there might be some potential union concerns around that. There might be some environmental health safety concerns involved with that too. So I can see why wearable devices is not consistent, and it'd be very hard to truly understand how all the different organizations are using it.
Yeah, the more the data those devices can capture about the condition of the human body, the quicker you're going to bump into laws like HIPAA, which cover data privacy issues about your health. So it's interesting that a lot of companies are making advances in that area, and companies who adopt them are seeing some interesting results and positive results. But those devices can bump against HIPAA in the way that other technologies don't.
Now, speaking of safety, when I looked through the survey, 20% of plants indicated they were not up to code. Personally, I find that very scary. Now, what do you think is driving that 20% of not being up to code?
You know, it's even a little worse. It's 25. We found almost evenly 1 in 4 thought their plant wasn't up to code. Again, just taking this data set alone, there's some interesting overlaps between that question and between average time between incidents at their plant, where 25% said the average time was 6 months or less between incidents, and that was the worst rate. And also the availability of training. Which is that nearly one-third chose poor or ineffective training as their top electrical safety challenge. That was second only to poor or ineffective equipment maintenance. So, you know, what we have found in other surveys is that when it comes to adopting technologies which could either streamline operations or which could advance their maintenance practices, it's kind of a tale of the haves and have-nots. When it comes to PDM, it's funny, it seems like 50% of plants are engaged, 50% of plants aren't. On the electrical safety survey, it was 25% of the respondents thought their plant wasn't up to code. And that mapped on to 25% who said the average time between incidents was 6 months or less. And then that also mapped on a third time to the number of people who report us that they thought their training was a challenge. You know, the last point here is that 28%, it's a question of near-miss reporting. 28% reported that either informal programs for near-miss reporting exist or no programs exist. So, again, to wrap up, what that tells me is that if you're the one in that 1 in 4, you've got a series of problems which are all lining up at your plant to add up to a lack of faith in being up to code.
This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out iridicio.com for a free copy of their ebook, A Smarter Way of Preventative Maintenance. This ebook will allow you to review your current maintenance program and eliminate the non-value-added work you're doing, which is most likely causing you more downtime than it is preventing. www.iridicio.com. Yeah, I have to agree, because one of the other questions talked about how many have been investigated by OSHA. And numbers seem to be very similar to the amount of plants that weren't up to electrical code. So I'm wondering if there's some sort of cause and effect, or is it just correlation there?
Yeah, and that was difficult for us to understand completely because of the way we phrased the questions. I know that's a great point of overlap. There's another question too. Have you ever been involved in an arc flash incident? 23% yes. And that maps on to, have you ever been part of an OSHA investigation? 28% said yes. Taking those two questions separately for a second, you know, one of the survey respondents wrote me a great email which said, you know, take a look at those last questions about arc flash and OSHA investigations, because it would help to have responses that go beyond yes and no. Have you ever been involved? Well, what does that mean? Does that mean that you witnessed it? Does that mean that you were the person who was injured in the incident? Have you been part of the OSHA investigation? Does that mean you were the supervisor in charge of the investigation? Does that mean you were the person who was part of it, who was injured? You know, those are the kind of questions I wish we had asked in the survey, which we'll know better to ask next time. But yeah, it is a curious number that kept coming up, James. And those two questions, I do have some faith. There's a connection. I think the other questions, I have more of a confidence there's connection. But again, correlation is impossible until we ask better questions.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, one of the things I did find contradicting in the survey was that some of the challenges identified by the respondents were having the right equipment in coordination with external agencies. Now, if the vast majority have the right PPE and electrical safety equipment, mm-hmm. they have thermography equipment, why are those some of the challenges?
Let's see. You know, it's funny. I think you and I may have read that in different ways, and we can have a discussion on this. The challenge which says having poor or ineffective PPE, that was one of the two options in the survey where 80% of the respondents, at least 80%, said that it was either not a challenge or was a low challenge. And that sort of mapped onto the other one that went at 80% telling us it wasn't a very serious challenge was contact with overhead or underground electrical lines. So I'm not sure I see the same issue with poor or ineffective PPE that you might. The challenges that jumped out to me were ineffective training, ineffective maintenance, and also ineffective grounding, interestingly. For that question, almost 10% of our respondents ranked ineffective grounding as a very high level challenge at their facility. That was an incident risk for things like an arc flash incident.
Now, based on some of the results that we found on ineffective training being a major challenge, you know, certain plants not up to code, do you think that the number of respondents having a policy about electrical safety align with, you know, having ratings on cabinets, train, arc flash, et cetera, and those involved with the arc flash instance? Do we see a correlation there of having policies in place, understanding what electrical safety is having that direct impact on not having arc flash incidents?
Well, again, correlation is tricky because we could have asked better questions to specifically investigate cause and effect relationships. You know, I see the question that we asked about having received training in NFPA 70E, where 68% said yes. And I see the number of people who have been involved in an arc flash incident. 77% said no. That shows some kind of connection. There's a question, do you know someone who has been involved in an arc flash incident? 60% said yes. So that's what we're trying to figure out, which is given how many people have received training in NFPAE, 60% of readers know somebody who was involved in the arc flash incident. Despite only 1 in 4 saying yes, I have been involved in some way.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of potential correlation going on, but we need to have the data to dive into some of these things. And I think that's, you know, a good learning for not only the survey itself, but for people in the plant. Just because they have something in place like an electrical policy doesn't mean that is going to make your plant safer. Right?
Yeah, I agree. And again, it's a learning for sure on the survey level on what kind of questions to ask. But yeah, that's a definite avenue to explore, which is the effect of policy. You know, again, what we did note for sure was that enough people said that training was a challenge that I think people either reading this article or looking at their data should take that seriously. These are the people who again, report themselves as ASNT certified thermographers, as licensed journeymen, as CMRPs, without other various certifications. And again, about more than 35% of these people said that poor or ineffective training was a challenge at their facility. Goodness knows, there are so many options for training out there. And part of what I encouraged in my editor's note for the February issue when this story was published was to say, if you're really upset with the quality of training you're getting, this is life or death. Don't wait for your company to come deliver it to you. Either demand it, request it, or go find it yourself, because this is life or death, potentially.
Absolutely. Definitely is. Now, what else popped out to you on the survey? Were there any big surprises, any big trends you just kind of confirmed with it? What else did we learn from this survey?
I think the wide variety of responses to the last question, which was an open-ended question about the one thing people would do to improve electrical safety. A lot of people certainly did say training, but we also got responses that focused on the equipment itself. Modernize with new technology, update disconnects and starters, find improved devices for washdown areas, reenactment of our near misses, include a simple one-page laminated card that indicates the areas of high electrical danger. You know, this is stuff ranging from knowledge capture, knowledge transfer, to simple to CapEx expenses. So what that told me, James, was that there were one or two things that were important, but that there wasn't a silver bullet because presumably all facilities are different. What it reminded me is that electrical safety is simply not limited, of course, to arc flash incidents or electrical hazards like that. It's related to the quality of the equipment you've got, and often case of simple signage. I'll tell you, the comment about including a simple one-page laminated card that indicates areas of high electrical danger, that really stuck with me, that some plants simply do not point out those common areas of electrical hazard or electrical danger.
Yeah, and that's a very relatively simple fix. I would think that would be. So that is something that can easily be done, implemented, and communicated out to drive safety. Maybe it's a safety talk or toolbox talk that they have. But very simple things like that, I think, can have a great impact if done properly.
Mm-hmm. And there was one other one that jumped out too. Do an arc flash study, but upper management will not fund. I felt really terrible for the person who responded to that, because upper management, clearly there had been a request to do studies on arc flash hazards and they haven't been approved yet. So where does that leave workers thinking when it comes to what management thinks about their human capital? Our flash studies may not be sending someone home safe at night, an uninsured compared to plant reliability? I think that's a question that any state sales who are listening to this should ask themselves. Is are they doing enough studies on employee safety with their electrical systems?
Yeah, I think that is an interesting topic. I know electrical arc flash analysis are not safe or not cheap. Sorry. Mm-hmm. In addition mm-hmm. to often I see that once the studies are done, they just sit on the shelf and none of the recommendations are implemented. So mm-hmm. it's almost like the RCM analysis, if you will. It takes time and investment to do it, but then you have to be willing to implement the recommendations out of it to see any meaningful benefit for the organization. And that sometimes mm-hmm. is very, very hard to get top level support for. Not saying it's wrong, but it is difficult.
Right. It's not right, but it's reality. And that maps onto that point, which we mentioned earlier, which is how so many people cited ineffective equipment maintenance as a challenge. You know, if you're not wanting to implement the studies and you're not wanting to follow through, well, then of course you're going to have those same problems.
Right. Yes, absolutely.
So, yeah.
Well, Tom, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk about the electrical survey results with us today. But before we go, where can people find out more about you, plant services? Are you guys going to be at any conferences coming up throughout the rest of the year? Anything like that?
Yeah, you bet. You can always go on www.plantservices.com. We have an event calendar on there for events that we are attending and or covering. The events that I'll be attending through the end of year include the SMRP National event in Orlando that's coming up in October. Can't wait to meet everyone there. And also the IMVAC event being held the week before Thanksgiving down also in Orlando this year. In that event, if I see you there, you'll have the option of attending a session where I'll be presenting results of our 2018 PDM survey, which is just about ready to roll. It's not quite ready to roll yet. So for anybody who wants to see the entire set of survey data from the Electrical Safety Survey, there's a short URL you can use. Just type this in without the www. You type in plnt.sv/1802-ES. And make sure the ES is in capitals. So that's plnt.sv/1802-ES. Also, if you go on plantservices.com and do a search in the search bar for electrical safety survey, the stories plus the data should come up right away.
Excellent. I will make sure to provide links to all these within the show notes so people can get easily to Plant Services, the S&P conference, and the survey results without having to type it all in. So we'll make sure to put those links on there for everyone.
Appreciate that, James. And for anybody who has any questions or thoughts about how to make the survey better, you can reach me at twilk@putzman.net. And I'm sure James will have that email link. But email anytime. And happy to take ideas on how to make these surveys better for you every year.
Excellent. I will make sure to include that as well. And Tom, I want to thank you for taking the time today to talk about the electrical safety survey. Electrical safety is very important. It's near and dear to my heart. I started off as an electrician in the field. So something I think definitely needs to be considered, definitely needs to be looked at. And, you know, we need to make sure we have a focus on it within industries.
Yeah, my pleasure, James. Thanks for having me back. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and it's actually really exciting to know that this is the where your career started as well. So for anyone listening, you had an electrical expert talking with the plant services editor on these data. So listen to James. He knows what he's talking about.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Tom. And I'll give you back some rest of your afternoon. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, James.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.